Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories, which can be found on iTunes as a free download. And today I have yet another amazing woman who's here to share her story. Hey, Cheryl.
Hey.
Could you introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So my name is Cheryl, and I am from the Bay Area, California, and I just graduated from college.
Okay. And obviously the question now begs to be asked, what did you graduate with? What kind of degree?
I have a bachelor's in psychology.
Oh, cool.
And I have a minor in creative writing.
Oh, awesome. That's a really cool combination. I love to write, and actually I've seen what a skilled writer that you are, because I believe that how we first met was through one of the stuttering email group, Stuttering Chat, and I've long observed that you're actually a brilliant writer.
Oh, thanks.
What do you hope to do with that combination of writing and psychology?
Well, right now, like, as to my immediate next steps, I am not sure, but I do hope ultimately to become a writer. So I would basically want to write fiction pieces like short stories and novels.
Oh, all right. Have you done any of that yet? I mean, have you been published in like in school newsletters or school journals or anything?
Yes. I have published a few short stories in my high school literary magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have had a few opinion pieces published in my school newspaper, in my college newspaper, I mean.
Great. Now, I am going to comment just real quick. There's no need to ever apologize.
Yeah, that's just like a reflex, I think. Sometimes, like when I'm stuttering, like in public or something, I'm just like always like, I don't know why. I like can't help myself sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should stop that.
Yeah. Do you do it because you think that you're like burdening the listener?
Do you think? Yeah, kind of, I think. Probably.
Well, I can certainly understand that, because I know a lot of people who stutter do feel like they shouldn't have to subject somebody to listening. But in the context of our conversation here, you don't have to say you're sorry. It's all cool. And we're talking about stuttering, so it's certainly okay. So
okay.
How long have you been stuttering?
I've been stuttering. I'm not sure, but I mean, I know it was from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, I mean, like, I had always been scared to raise my hand in class and stuff,
mm-hmm.
Because I knew that I did not talk the same way as the other people. But I think the first time that I really became conscious of it was when I had to be pulled out of class in the fifth grade to go to speech therapy.
Mm.
So
you felt like you were singled out at that point?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, sort of. Yeah, but I mean, like, that was actually fascinating experience for me too, because when I got to the speech therapy, I found out that I was actually I found out that the most popular girl in the class was also in there because she had a lisp. So it's actually pretty cool for me to go in there and find out, wow, she's here too. That's so weird, you know?
Yeah.
So that's pretty interesting, actually, I'd
yeah.
say.
It almost sounds like it was kind of like, you know, like affirming for you to see that in your fifth grade eyes that, you know, a speech impairment could affect anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So did those early experiences with therapy help you?
Well, in the fifth grade, I had this thing that I did with my arm, where like my arm would sort of pump up and down, like when I had a block. So I think that the speech therapist managed to help me stop doing that, but I still had a stutter.
Okay. Were you expecting that by going to therapy that you would no longer stutter?
I guess I kind of had a hope, maybe. But no, I mean, because I think that I was just too shy, and I had pretty low self-esteem. So, you know, I just didn't expect things to get better, I guess, you know, and so things did not really change.
Mm.
Yeah.
Was the, you know, it's interesting because I've had the opportunity to chat with a lot of women who stutter, and it seems like the whole esteem thing, you know, thinking poorly of ourselves, you know, as women who stutters, is not an unusual thing. Is that part of the reason why you had low self-esteem because of your stuttering, or was it other stuff?
Well, I think it was that. I mean, because I actually couldn't tell half the time if I was just shy or if I had low self-esteem, you
Oh.
know, because I have always been a bookworm. So I would pretty much just stay in with my books all day, and I wouldn't really talk to, you know, I wouldn't play with kids a lot, and so I mean, I guess that I just never felt that I learned enough social skills for me to actually have like high self-esteem, because I think that was how that was how self-esteem was portrayed, you know, like, you know, like it was like portrayed in how well you could make friends and stuff, so.
Right. So how was your family throughout all this? Obviously they knew that you stuttered. Were they supportive? I mean, supportive, like, did they, you know, did they talk with you about it? Did they encourage you to just be yourself, or did you feel like you had to kind of hide the stuttering or not stutter around them?
Yeah, I would say that I kind of felt that I had to hide my stutter. Because my mom would always tell me to slow down a lot, you know, and like, so like, if I started to say a sentence and she thought that it was too fast or something, then she would cut me off and say, you know, okay, stop, and you know, slow down, you know, and then after that happened, I would not feel like talking anymore, you know, so is, yeah.
What about your dad? How was he?
Well, he was not at home a whole lot, you know, because he had this new job, and so I didn't really see him a lot actually around this time, because by the time he came home, I would be like in bed, you know, already. Or yeah, so.
Well, that's good that you didn't like you didn't have a lot of negative experiences. I mean, yeah, it sounds like, you know, when your mom was telling you to, you know, slow down or you know, that would be frustrating. But in my experience, my dad had a real problem with my stuttering. And I think to some degree he thought that, like, it was a poor reflection on him, that there was something wrong with one of his kids. And he really was negative and critical and yelled at me a lot. And that's what really propelled me to keep my stuttering hidden, because I just didn't want to get negative feedback from Daddy. So, I kind of almost wish that it had been a little bit more easier for me to at least even talk about it, because it led me into years of being covert, which was, not the best way to grow up and try to deal with something that's a real, real part of who we are, you know. So, what was it like for you, like, in high school and in college, you know, trying to find yourself, if you will? as a young person who stutters?
Well, I would have to say that in high school, like I would talk to my teachers about my stuttering and you know and then and I think that they would call on me less. And you know, and so I would have to go after class or something and like discuss things with them personally.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I didn't really talk much during high school, I don't think. And also same with college, except that no, actually I would say that I talked more during college. But I mean, but I did have this experience in high school where in one of my classes, there was this guy that like I had a crush on or something. And so I felt really uncomfortable being in that class with him, you know, and like, I did not want to be called on because I did not want to stutter in front of him, you know? And so I actually had my parents, call the teacher and like explain to him that I had a stutter and to, you know, see maybe if, you know, I could just come, I could just come by his office after class to, you know, talk to him about the, you know, about what we were learning. But then he was just like, no, you know, like, I mean, because yeah, he said that if I wanted to do that, then he would have to take off the 10% for class participation or something, you know, and which I thought was unfair, but at the time, but maybe now it's kind of fair. I don't know. But anyway, so after he said no, we then went to talk to the counselor there. Mm-hmm. I think it was like the counselor or just some other person who's in the office. But we talked to some like important person in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually said that like my school was not equipped to accommodate people and that maybe I should go to a different school.
Oh my God.
You know? Yeah. So it was like, you know, and I mean like, you know, this was like a really expensive private school. You know, so it was like a really like, you know, private school. And she was just like, you know what, you should maybe go somewhere else, you know? And so then we couldn't do anything after that. You know, like we were pretty pissed off and so this was my sophomore year of high school, I remember.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that I just took the 10% off my grade, you know?
Oh.
I didn't really talk.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so that was kind of a rough year.
Yeah. So did you ever talk to the boy? I mean, did you ever want, you know, meeting him or, you know?
No, because he actually turned out to be a the only way I talked to him was through AIM, and you know, so I didn't actually ever talk to him. I think I talked to him like 3 times in person, but on the internet he was actually very very verbally abusive. So he was actually not a great guy at all. He was actually a complete jerk, you know, but I still had really low self-esteem back then. So yeah, it was just not a good situation at all.
Now, was he being abusive because he knew that you stuttered, or was it just
No. It was just, I don't know. I mean, you know, he just did not seem to like me. And I mean, you know, like, but he would still come online and he would still respond to my IMs, but it was like he was responding to them just so that he could abuse me, you know, type thing. And, you know, and so I just kept IMing him. God knows why now, but I don't know. I guess I just felt that I could change his opinion about me for some reason. You know, I just thought, well, maybe I can change it, you know, this time, you know. Of course, it just like kept getting worse, you know. And I still was like, maybe I can change his opinion this time. So it was just I mean, he was just such a jerk. Like, I seriously think that he's like just like a horrible person now, you know. And I think back to like how he treated me, and like, I swear, if I saw him today, like, you know, he would have something coming for him, you know, seriously. Like, he would have it out. Like, I mean, you know, I have no idea what I would do, but, you know, and he should just, you know, he should not meet me, basically, because if he did, it would be bad news for him, that's for sure. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just something happened in high school, so it's not really worth, thinking about it anymore, really.
Yeah, definitely. He sounds like a big loser, and if I was him, I'd watch his back as well, because, you know. But yeah, so moving on. Did you get any therapy as a young adult? Have you tried to do anything different with your speech in like the last couple of years?
Yes. So I think this was three years ago. I went on the McGuire program. And so it's basically a program that, I guess that some people may argue me on this, but I think that the main point of the program is that they teach you costal breathing, which is supposed to help you, you know, like, take these costal breaths and then speak right after the costal breath so that there is no holding back. And to make sure that your diaphragm is constantly moving, and supposed to help you with your speech in some way or other. Not completely sure right now, but yeah.
Has it helped you?
I would say that I was completely fluent for about 1 month after the program. But I mean, it does take a lot of hard work, you know, you have to use a technique all the time and for every word you say, basically. I did not have the discipline to stay with the technique. And so I have had a relapse, as they call it there.
Yeah.
But I mean, but I still try to use it sometimes, you know, and I was just at a support group for it, where we all practiced using our technique, and then we also called some businesses, and you know, while using our technique, and so that was really good practice, mm-hmm. I thought.
Mm-hmm. Now, what exactly is, because I'm not sure, I have an idea, but, and there might be people listening that don't know, what exactly is costal breathing?
Go ahead. It's okay.
Is it like an exaggerated form of like deep breathing, or are you doing something different than, you know, like the fluency shaping people tell us to take like a full breath? I mean, what exactly is it?
Okay. Well, I mean, as I remember it, like we have two diaphragms, you know, like I think that one is in the upper and one is in the lower, I think. And so basically you're trying to breathe from your lower diaphragm.
Okay.
And so it's basically like a really deep full breath. And it has to come from like your like abdomen area, I would say.
So they actually teach you how to do it, and like for you to be able to feel your abdomen area like rising on each breath or something like that.
Yeah, basically, yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me also ask you. You said that when you did the McGuire program, after completing it, you had like the month of being fluent, and then mm-hmm. you lost that. How did that feel to go from fluent to not fluent?
Oh, it felt pretty bad, actually. I would say it felt pretty bad, but I mean, I had been warned about this before, you know, because I remember that that one of my coaches told us on the last day that 99% of people will have a relapse, and that is part of the process, you know. So it's like you have a relapse, and then you come back again, and then you like might have another one, but you're supposed to learn from each one.
Oh, I see. So like it's like it's kind of like a lifelong commitment type of thing.
Yeah, I think I would say so. Yeah, definitely.
And does it also focus at all on like helping you with acceptance?
Yes, yeah, it does. Yeah, because voluntary stuttering is part of the program.
Okay.
And so that helps us with acceptance. But I mean, even when we do the voluntary stuttering, the point is to still be in control mm-hmm. of your stutter. So it is acceptance on the one hand, but it's also, I mean, you like basically have to control your speech all the time. you know? So it's like, you maybe don't feel as free to just, you don't feel free to just let your stutter show itself, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And are you okay, K with that most of the time, just letting your stutter show?
Yeah, I mean, usually when I talk to friends and family, I think that I feel pretty okay with it. It's just, you know, if I am in a job interview or when I had to give presentations in class, you know, that's when I felt that I should have really kept up on the technique. And because if you haven't kept up on it and then you suddenly try to use it, it still doesn't work. So it has to be like a constant upkeep sort of thing.
Yeah. So have you been on some job interviews yet?
No. I mean, I have had jobs in the past where I have had job interviews. But I mean, so far right now, I'm still thinking about graduate school or taking some time off to travel and work on my writing.
I remember when we were doing some communicating, or at least I was following you a lot on Stuttering Chat, you would write a lot about having spent time abroad. I think you were in France for a while.
Yes, yeah.
That appeared to have been like a favorite place of yours.
Yes, yeah. I was in Paris for 4 months, taking some French classes there. And so it was really great, except for the classes part, you know, because it was in French, like we all speak in French, and yeah. I had a stutter, and my French still is not that good. So it was like a disaster, basically.
Uh-oh.
But I also took a drawing class, you know, which was really fun because you didn't have to talk and you could just stand there and draw, you know, and that was really amazing because it's like being in Paris and taking an art class, you know, that's like
beautiful.
The ultimate, you know? Yeah. So that was a great experience. So
it's good and fun. Would you like to go back?
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely. I mean, I have been there 4 times so far.
Oh wow.
And so I like really want to live there someday, you know, hopefully as soon as possible, actually. But I just have to find a way to make that happen. So I mean, you know, like I might, if the grad school thing doesn't work out, then I may try to teach English there or maybe be an au pair there.
Okay. So what are you thinking about, just real quick, because we're going to need to wind down. But what are you thinking about as far as grad school?
Well, I was actually thinking about speech-language pathology, actually.
Ooh.
But I think that my real interest lies in research. But I have been told that I should get my master's first and then go for a PhD. Which, yeah, so that I'll have a good foundation, by working with clients and everything.
Yeah.
So
what part of the research field really turned you on?
Right now I think that I would like to do research on the brain pathways of people who stutter. And research how their brains are different from fluent speakers.
And you do believe that there is a difference?
I think that there definitely is. And I think that the research also shows that, but actually not to as great an extent as we would think. But I think that there are differences. And I know, because I think that this all starts in the brain, you know? I mean, you know, like, because, you know, that's because that's where our language and cognition comes from.
Right.
And I also think that cognition plays a large part in it as well, you know, sort of like how we think about ourselves when we stutter. I think that actually influences the way that we stutter.
Wow. Well, that definitely would be a fascinating field for you to get into, because obviously with your interest in research and your personal experience of being a woman who stutters, that would be just a winning combination, I think, because there certainly needs to be more research in stuttering generally, but specifically, I think, with women who stutter, because we are the minority within the minority, and, you know, sometimes I think women who stutter are just, we're overlooked, because 4 out of 5 people who stutter happen to be male, so, yeah, I think that would be an interesting pathway for you to take, but I also think that you would probably excel with the writing, because I've already seen samples of your work, and you appear to have a gift.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, and thank you for coming on today and sharing your story. It's nice to have gotten the perspective of a young person who's just finished college and is facing so many options in her life. Thanks again, and good luck.
Oh, yeah, no. Thank you. And I think that this is a great service that that you are providing for people who want to learn more about about this topic.
And it's really good therapy for me as well to talk to so many great women who stutter. So thanks again, and this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.